Blog Talk Radio.
You got it.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to our live talk radio station. This is Valerie Harris coming to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just want to start the program off with prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you on tonight, Lord God. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will come and bring us revelation, Lord God. Anoint our ears that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying on tonight. Father, may I decrease that you might increase in me, Lord. Father, there's nothing that I can say, Lord God. But Father, we hunger for your word. We hunger, Lord, for your presence. And I pray, Lord God, that whoever is under the sound of my voice and can hear my voice, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit. Touch them in their homes, Lord. Touch them in their lives, Father. Father, I pray increase. I pray blessings, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you. I thank you. And I give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Welcome, everyone, again to our talk radio blog. I want to give honor to Pastor Hunter, who has been so gracious and so kind to bring forth the vision and birth forth the vision of us coming together and talking and communing with God through his holy word. Tonight, I want to talk about the power of the seed, the meaning of the seed. Everything in the kingdom of God is based on the seed. I was just meditating, and actually, I was in church on yesterday, and the atmosphere was so filled with the presence of God that he began to speak to me about the seed. And so I'm going to start in the book of Genesis. I have several scriptures. So if you want to write them down and review them later, you know, that's fine with me. Because I plan on going back and just really feasting on the word of God. But I want to take you to the very beginning. And I may bounce around a little bit, but we'll connect the dots, I promise you. So I'm going to start with Genesis 1 and verse 26. And it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. So to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast on the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creep upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So when God created male and female, verse 28 said, he blessed them. There's a prayer I used to go to a Catholic church, and they would pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And the fruit of the womb. You know, it was a blessing and for the male and female to reproduce and bring forth children. The male is the carrier of the seed. And the woman, or the womb man, was such as the ground, that when the male planted the seed in the ground, it had a gestation period, a period of growing and of forming. And when God blessed them, it was a purpose for them to replenish the earth and to grow. So I want to look at a different kind of seed. And this is the one, well, let me start here and just explain the seed itself, the life cycle of a seed. Now, humans have many reasons to grow plants. We use them for food and building materials, for pleasure, and for many other purposes. A plant really just has one reason to grow, to reproduce and make more plants like it. A life cycle showing how living things grow, change, and reproduce themselves. So here you have plants that were designed and created to reproduce themselves. And it starts with the seed. Man and woman designed to reproduce themselves. I would say that it would start with the seed, but with mankind, that was a different situation. It started with God taking the male and the female and creating them. But then from thereafter, everything came from a seed. We were designed to reproduce and replenish the earth. Plants are designed to reproduce and bring forth fruit. If you have your Bibles with you, turn over quickly to Matthew 13, a different kind of seed. And it reads, the same day went Jesus out of the house, starting at verse 1, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now what he's doing here is he's describing the kingdom of God. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where there had not been much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the seed here is the word of God. In order for a seed to grow, there has to be a soil or a breeding ground. And that's what the womb of the woman is, breeding ground for the seed of life to grow. The ground of soil, where you can take a tiny seed and plant it in the ground, and it can take root, grow roots in the ground, and a tree will blossom and bear fruit. Unless a seed falls to the ground and die, it can bear no fruit. Jesus himself was our seed, sent to the earth to die, so that he could bear more children and bring more people into the kingdom of God. There's power in the seed, and we cannot negate or put off the process or the life cycle of the seed. There has to be a fertile ground in order for the seed to grow. If a woman is barren and something is going on in the womb, then she cannot bear the seed. Her womb must be fertile in order for the seed of the man to grow inside of her. So where am I going with this? What is God trying to say to us or bring to our attention regarding the seed? Everything comes from God. In each one of these situations or each one of these analogies about the seed and the planting of the seed and the life cycle of the seed and the growing of the seed, that if it takes hold and is rooted and grounded, such as the word, where God is speaking a word to us, and he's speaking it into our heart. The heart is our ground, but it takes time to grow. Sometimes we want instant results, but if the seed is not planted right, and if the soil is not right, and if we hear the word and we don't take heed and meditate upon that word and nurture the word with water, the water of the Spirit and the light of Jesus, we won't bear any fruit. I'm so passionate right now about the seeds that are coming up in the earth right now. You hear me talk about the children all the time, about our young seeds that maybe perhaps haven't been nurtured correctly, and the fruit that they're bearing is not good fruit. where their lives are being lost. And we see so many of our young boys who are the bearer of seed, who have the seed. A woman can't produce a seed because God didn't make her that way. He made her to be the carrier of the seed, the ground, the soil, the womb. But our young boys are dying by the droves. If we look at the signs of the time, we can see that, so to speak, history is repeating itself. Are we on the edge of a great prophetic happening, transpiring in the earth today? It's just like any time God is getting ready to send a deliverer, the males have to die. The spirit of Herod going across this land in such an evil way, taking the lives of our children. Schools are being targeted for annihilation, where children are going into the schools and shooting their classmates, killing their teachers. I heard a story. I don't get to watch the news very often because I go to work every day. And if I'm not at work, I'm going into the prisons. And so I'm always busy. But I heard of a little 2-year-old boy who went into his parents' room and found a gun and was playing with it, and he killed himself in the head. A baby. But I do see, every time I turn the news on, I'm seeing children dying. I saw on the news the other day where this man was robbing this family, shot the dad, and walked up to the son and killed him. There's a spirit roaming across this earth trying to take out our young people, trying to kill the seed. But the good news is, it's Jesus. It's coming back. He planted himself in the earth, sent by the Father to die. But he got up with all power in his hand. There's power in the seed, and the seed that I want to focus on right now is the seed of the Word of God, the promises of God. God told us, Jesus told his disciples, that it was expedient that he go away. They did not want him to leave. They did not understand why he had to die. He himself, in the form of a man, struggled. He knew he had to go through, struggling, asking God that if you can take this cup away from me. But Father, not my will, let your will be done. He also told us that we must work while it's day, because the night is sure to come. This is not time for us to faint or to give up. It's time for us to bear fruit, meet for the master. It's time for us to come together in the spirit of unity and oneness and take a stand against the powers of darkness and the powers of evil and get to work it. Continue to work while it's day, because the night is right here. Matthew 7:15-23 reads, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." You know, there are manipulators and liars and deceivers dressed in sheep's clothing. And the way you recognize them is you look at their fruit. What are they producing? They can smile in your face, turn around and stab you in your back. And sometimes it's not so quick to fall into the enemy's traps, but to keep your ear to the voice of the Spirit that will not lead you astray. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He brings me to that scripture often. It's in my spirit to beware of my own actions, to be accountable for the choices that I make, to know my own heart. See, the heart of man is desperately wicked, and no man can know it but God. But what kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you a good tree? Or are you like the false prophets in sheep clothing, looking and seeking whom you may devour? Are you the child of God that loves him so much that your mission in life is to seek and to do his will? Sometimes I get frustrated with the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, and it seems like I'm just not moving fast enough. I'm in my 60s now. And I look and I'm like, God, I'm wasting too much time. It's, the vision is not moving fast enough. What you told me to do, I'm not doing it fast enough. But our loving Father would tell us to be still and know that he's God, because the seed that he puts on the inside of us, The roots have to grow. God, he knows what he's doing. So if you find yourself in it, getting frustrated about the things that he told you to do, or you think that you're too old, you're not too old. It's just that you walked out the journey. And God said, in due season, he's going to bring you forth. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He knows how to bring it to fruition. Jesus himself walked this planet for 33 years, but it was the last 3 years that he changed the world, turned the world upside down in 3 years of his life. Still time. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't be frustrated because we can't see the underworkings of God where he's working in our lives in the hidden places, in the ground, in the soil. When he's turning over the soil to make our roots grow. Inside the seed is everything we need because he has put his treasure in earthen vessels. And we just have to be patient sometimes, not to grow too soon, not to stay too long, but to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I had the opportunity today to visit another inmate, someone I didn't know anything about. When I go into the prisons, I never look them up. I don't know what race they are. I don't know what religion they are. I don't know what sin they committed in the past. I know absolutely nothing about them. And God, I did not know even what to say. I'm looking through the scriptures and praying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to this man? And it was pretty interesting because he ended up telling me to talk to him not about religion, but to talk to him about relationship. To let him know that no matter how his life started, his life wasn't over. And because men put him on death row, that his life still had value. Sometimes God will send us into places that we really don't want to go. But if he's sending us to seek and save the lost, it might be a bit uncomfortable. And when we walk through those places and we walk through seem like barren places, you have to know who you are in God. Sometimes we hear that phrase, do it afraid. But God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when he says that life and death is in the power of your tongue, you can speak to any mountain, any disturbance, any trial, any tribulation, any pain, any suffering, and command it to be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it has to go. Because the seed on the inside of you is alive, ready to spring forth to bear good fruit. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I know for every year of my life, I've heard that Jesus is coming soon. And that message, we don't know what soon is. When the scriptures were being written,
the promise was he was coming back. And he gave us signs when the prophets asked him, when his disciples asked him, show us a sign. When are you coming back, Jesus? When are you coming back to get us? And he said that there will be earthquakes in divers places. There will be wars and rumors of wars. He said, but it's not time yet. You will be thrown out of the synagogue for speaking the truth, for speaking the word. There will be a time when men do not want to hear what God has to say. And they will stone you, and they will try to kill you. But even then, don't be alarmed. Because the time is drawing near, nearer than it was yesterday, nearer than it was the day before. I had this experience when my sister was dying of cancer. And she was lingering and she was suffering because she had just given up. And she was angry with my brother. And he hadn't done something really wrong to her. She told me she was just disappointed because he hadn't taken care of himself. And we grew up as a close family. And the things that he did, she could not forgive him. And my older brother was down here, and he began to sing this song, "There's plenty good room in my Father's kingdom." And she went into the Spirit and began to bring a word to us in her suffering. And she said she saw him. She said, oh, yes, I see him clothed in his armor. And there are women around him adorning him and worshiping him. And he was fully dressed, standing up, ready to come back for war. And the only thing that was missing was his shoes. He's dressed. He's about ready to come back. And then she would always pray the Lord's Prayer. And when she got to that part, and she said, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. And she stopped and she paused. And she said, but God, I don't know how to forgive. And she got quiet. And her next words were, God, you always know. You know how to forgive. And then she drifted off to sleep. We got it on tape. And it was such a holy moment. But after that day, she had peace. And she was ready to go. She was ready to meet her maker. And when we come across things that we don't know how to handle, when we've been persecuted, when we've been lied on, when we've been tormented, when we've been disappointed and hurt and beaten and bruised, and we don't know how to forgive. And sometimes we don't know how to love. God knows. And all we have to do is turn to the one gave his life. Our chief intercessor, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. We could never give up on him. There are so many people, because of the things that they've suffered, especially if they're innocent. Today, as I was talking to this man, he's been on death row for 20 years for something he didn't do. Railroaded. No evidence. No DNA. Nothing that can prove him wrong. And our boys, the seed bearers, the one whom God said, be fruitful and multiply. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. But God is still on the throne. And he said that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, God is trying to clean us up. And sometimes we don't know how. But you go to the one. He's the sower. He's the one who knows how to prune us. He's the one who knows how to restore us and replenish us and revive us. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not alone. We are not alone. And with forgiveness, I know he told me once, he said it can't enter into the kingdom of God. It can't enter into eternity. And so if there's anyone, any situation, be quick to forgive. Turn to the one who knows your heart. I told that man today, I said, nobody knows your heart but God. Nobody can change your heart but God. God not looking for religion. He's looking for us to have a relationship with him. He's seeking those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking those who would bear fruit. He's seeking those who would love others. Greater love can no man have than he would lay down his life for his friends. He allowed us to go through something so that we too might understand what it is to suffer. If you've ever gone through anything, it's not to beat you down, to build you up and strengthen yourself and God, so that you might strengthen and build somebody else up in his love. There's power in the seed, power in the word of God. And once your heart is fertilized enough to receive the word, I don't know who I'm talking to. It may seem like it's starting out slow, It may just be one. Or it may just be me. That when you let that seed grow, that word grow in your heart and hold on to it and not let it depart, it changes. It transforms. It revives. It renews. It resurrects. It allows your gift to come forth and blossom so that it might help somebody else. One day we're going to stand before the King. We're going to be before his throne. And what shall we bring him? What gift can we lay at his feet? I want to open up the lines for any comments, any prayer requests, anything that you can add, or anything you want to say.
I have nothing to give you, Lord, but my heart. My flesh, I have nothing to give you but my heart. The desires of my thinking, my love towards you, that's all I have, Father. That's all I have, Father, to praise you, to love you, to adore you, to magnify your name. That's all I have. My flesh means nothing. My ankles mean nothing. But my love for you is all I have. Nothing but my love. Amen.
Amen. That's all he wants.
Talk about the seed. And when you talked about the seed, that is such a blessing to hear, because people need to know about that. They need to know about the seed that God has planted in us. And the reason why so much sin in the earth and children have no, because they're not being taught. Our generation from where we are now, the 50s and the 60s, people were taught a little bit more. But this generation, the Bible said in Isaiah, this is a sinful nation, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children, who have rejected the Lord. And so this is what has happened. And nobody is teaching their children at home anymore. A lot of the young ones are not teaching their children. Children are doing what they want to do. They buy them games and expensive clothes, and they empty-headed. They have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is one of the reasons why we have so much going on in the earth. And they say, well, they've taken prayer out of school. Well, they haven't taken it out of your home. You can pray at home. But this is a corrupt generation. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Amen. How are we overcoming?
We overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way to overcome it, and through by prayer. Because if we don't keep praying, so I was telling the lady today, somebody pray for us. We're living off of somebody's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, some grandmother, we got to pray for them. We gotta go to God. We got to pray for them, because this generation is lost. And if God don't draw them by his word, we got to speak that word. And if he don't draw them by it, they can't be drawn. That's what the Bible says. If the word don't draw you, you can't be drawn. So we got to pray for them.
You know, sometimes
that they know no God. They don't know him.
That's true. And, you know, sometimes they're not going to listen to you trying to talk about it. And I ask God all the time to give me a strategy as to how to reach them. The thing is
mm-hmm.
that we have to live the word. Sometimes the way we show them and love them and try to understand them, I want to go get them. I really do. That's my heart's desire.
Amen. Well, I believe in my heart that
you want to go get
all
him,
believers
huh?
do.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, you want to go get him.
Mm-hmm. I know prayer is very necessary. But then too, when you see them and they angry and they hurt, I'm starting to listen more to what they got to say and find the root cause of why they're hurting. And this is corrupt. They're flooded with soul. But I mean, you cannot turn on the TV where there's no sin being portrayed like it's a, you know, it's just being paraded in front of them. There's no decency left. There's no honor. There's no conviction. You know, they playing games. You know, the things of the world, like the cars, and you know, it's the things. People
are
running after the things instead of running after God.
Well, one thing, when y'all heard me say, I have nothing to give you, God. My flesh is going to perish. All that I have within me is going to perish. It's going to turn back to the earth. But all I have to give you is my love. That's all I have to give you is my love. And my love is superficial with him. Because he knows my spirit, man. That's what I say. I have nothing to give you back but my love. That's all I have to give back to him. And my prayers go forward. When I go out to the VA and see things going on, when I ride up and down the highways, I see things, how people act up. And I realize what we're saying today is important. Some people will not take the opportunity to hear what God is saying to them. But like you was talking about your sister, when she said, but Lord, I don't know how to forgive. That is a key element in God's kingdom. Can we all forgive? Yes, we can. And that's the key. When we forget because God forgets it. One other thing I'll say, and we'll see if we get somebody else on. I want to thank both of you teachers. Y'all are some kind of women. Y'all know the word. Y'all believe the word. Y'all study the word. Y'all make me just, I said, let me dig deeper. See, I get me a big old shovel. I get me a great big old shovel. So when y'all start digging, I start digging deeper and try to spread it as far as I can so the more I can see, the more I can hear. I love y'all. Let's see if we get somebody to say something with us. Oh, God. Hello, how you doing? Hello? Are you doing okay? Can we talk? Your last four is 7670. Can we talk?
Yeah, how you doing, Pastor Hunter? It's me, Prophet Ryan.
I say that again.
How you doing, Pastor Hunter? It's me, Prophet Ryan.
All right then. All right, ladies. Talk to him, ladies. Talk to him, ladies. My brother.
Yes.
You stay in Houston?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Do you stay in Houston?
No, I live down in Texas City.
Oh, Texas City. What's going on in Texas City?
Well, I mean, one of the things I was listening to tonight's message, and it really touched my heart and kind of got me thinking was, you know, how lost the world is. and how lost, you know, I would say my generation and down. I'm 31, okay? I graduated high school in 2006. But what touched me tonight when I joined the call was thinking about how lost the people really are and how far their hearts are from God. And what touched me tonight, and I believe what God wanted me to catch tonight, is to think about that. You know, I pray for the lost, and I think a lot about the lost, but tonight it really struck a chord in me in the sense that I can hear God's voice. God is concerned about the lost. God is concerned about this untoward generation that has turned their back from him. And I think, like one of the women of God said tonight, about how do we come up with strategies? And, you know, that really struck a chord in me too, because it's like, you know, man, I got to think about coming up with some strategies. How do I come up with the right strategy to turn those whose hearts are not towards God back to God? And I'm a part of the generation. And like she said, I mean, you know, you got Facebook, you know, and I thank God, you know, I just not got back on Facebook, but it was a season back in 2013, but God told me to get off. And so for about 6 years, I was off. And even when he released me back on there, it's ministry, it's ministry purpose. But when I look at it, you know, you're up against Facebook, you're up against social media, you're up against, you know, they call my generation Generation Me, where a lot of the people are me, myself, and I. They're just concerned about themselves and feeding their egos. And the sad part about it is that the children under them are following them and following that. And so, you know, how do we come up with creative strategies to begin to take this generation and to get them to cry out about God? There's no fear of God anymore either. I think, like she said, like my mother, you know, was a baby boomer. And so my mother and uncles, and you know, they have the fear of God in them. It's instilled in them at a young age. This generation, they have no fear whatsoever of God. It reminds me of in the Bible where when Noah was warning the people about the coming impending flood that God was going to bring, and they were caring about partying and drinking and burying and doing all those things, and they didn't have a mind whatsoever towards God. And, you know, tonight's message really touched me in thinking about the loss, but seeing it from the standpoint that God is not pleased with this untoward generation that don't think one thought about God when they get up. And God has become a meme, or he's become a Facebook post. It's not sincerity in the heart. There's no sincerity in the fear of God or his laws or commandments or his statutes. And so I guess what I got from tonight's call and what I believe God's got me on the call is, you know, because it's really in my heart now. It's really in my spirit. My spirit, man, has caught the message. Is that God is not pleased with this generation. And how do I do my part? We each have a part to play to begin to get these youth and get them thinking about God, get them fearing God. How do you draw them in? And, you know, God has given us, he's gifted us with wisdom, he's gifted us with knowledge, and he's gifted us with divine understanding if we ask for it. And so we got to come together, you know, as a body of Christ and figure it out. But, you know, what I got tonight is God is not pleased, and how can I apply this in my region, in the area that I'm in? And so, yeah, that's it. That's what I got for tonight, brother.
Okay. Well, do you believe in revivals?
Yeah, for sure. I believe in revivals. Yes, sir.
Okay. If we decide to come to your airport with a revival, would you be a part of it?
Yeah, for sure. I would love to be a part of it.
All right. May I take your number down and call you back?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. My phone number is 832-441-7670.
Yes, sir. I will write your name down, but I want to ask another question. What church do you belong to?
Yeah, so I'm with Fresh New Fire International Ministries.
Say that again, sir.
I think you said Christian Fire, Pastor.
No. Fresh New Fire International Ministries.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Fresh New Fire.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's it.
Are you the pastor?
Fresh New Fire.
Are you the pastor?
I am a minister. I'm a minister at the church. Yes, sir. I am a minister there. I'm not. You know, we're under a bishop and a pastor, Dr. Tiffany, But I am a minister at the church. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Let's see if we get somebody else on there with us right quick. All right. Hello. Hello. How you doing? Your last four numbers are 3222. Are you there? Can we talk?
Praise the Lord. It's Evangelist Rosetta Cooper.
Oh, my God. Rosetta Cooper. Rosetta Cooper. Go ahead, Rosetta.
With House of Prayer, you know, when you're talking about the youth, I'm moving on into the back-to-school drive because I always see it as an opportunity not just to sow into those children's lives, but to speak into their lives, to let them know that getting their lesson and doing their homework is their responsibility. It is not their mama's responsibility or their daddy's responsibility. And now that these children have a father that's absent from the home, it puts more pressure on the mother to have to do it all and make sure that they do their homework. But when I have the back-to-school drive, I have, last time I had a young female black lawyer, and I had a Brother Ryan was there as well, and I had a young football player there as well. The kids got to see a Super Bowl ring. So it's not just a backpack giveaway. It's seeding into these children's lives. And I thank God for it. And I always think about Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. And if he does depart, it will just be for a season. And all we could do is touch children that's in our lives, you know. And so I thank the Lord for the move of the Holy Ghost on tonight, talking about these children, these young people, and this lost generation, that even with all the cell phones and all the technology, they still committing suicide. They still get depressed. And no matter what you give them, it's not enough. But they need to have the compassion and love of Jesus Christ in their heart no matter what.
Well,
but they need to learn to love one another.
How do we reach them for the compassion?
We send them to church like our parents sent us to church.
Okay.
And they didn't just send us, they took us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reach them, in my case, I reach them annually with my back-to-school drive. So I may not reach them 365, but I get that one time before they start school to speak into their lives as they journey on into the next school year. And this one this year is the third annual one. It gets bigger and bigger. The first one I probably had 60 backpacks. Last year was 192. And this year, you know, it'll be even more. So it is growing. But that's how I see, you know, and the church has to continue to seed as well, not just me. We reach them through the church, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the things that the teacher was teaching on, you got a question you want to ask her? She was teaching on something, the teacher. Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
All right, then. Did you hear what she was saying?
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. I'm blessed by the mission and you just walking out. You know, God has given each one of us something to do. And it doesn't have to be, you know, no big, huge thing, but if we all connect doing the little pieces, you know, we might think it's little, but in God is much because his plan is just so great. And I'm really excited to hear you passionate and doing that because you never know who you're going to touch and how that's going to change somebody. Some of those kids don't have anything, and bullying is really big in schools now.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to touch life, like you said, you planted a seed, and that's really kind of all we just plant seeds of love and water it and nurture it. But God said that he'll draw the heart. And so I just want to commend you for that. And thank you for sharing that. That was a blessing. And man of God.
Yeah, I mean, even last year, it was like we couldn't even get the people to leave. It was over, and they were sitting. It was Mexican people, white people. It was all races. And, you know, we had gospel music playing in the background. We had food. And it's like they were fellowshipping so much that they didn't want to leave. We just took a little piece of ribbon and yarn and some little I Love Jesus cards and put it around all the children's neck. You swear we gave them 18-karat gold necklaces. It was just a piece of ribbon with a card that said, I love Jesus. And they were just so happy for the little, it's the little things. And hopefully they kept that somewhere in their house that their parents were able to see that, you know. But I thank God for it. And the move of
the Spirit. Yeah, he was in the midst.
It's definitely a God thing.
Yeah, well, when the Holy Spirit is in the midst, he will cause things to grow. And so I pray that he continue to multiply your efforts, that the seed, that people will give into it and become a part of it, and it become a great outreach that will transcend into not only this generation, but give them hope for the next generation, because they'll grow up and they're going to have children. And so...
Amen.
Well, I want to hear what Dr. McClendon. Dr. McClendon, are you there? Dr. McClendon?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. I know to put a word on you. By you being who you are, knowing what you are, you women, I'm talking to the women tonight. I know God has impressed you financially, socially. He has blessed you beyond, because many times I'll call and talk with you. I know God has blessed you. Now, you heard that young man talk tonight from Fresh. And I
fresh
like that.
Fire.
Yes, Fresh Fire.
Uh-huh.
I love it. What do you think about that? What do you think about that young man?
He sounds like he's on fire for God. He sounds like that he want to do a work for God, a true work, as well as all of the rest of us. And it's such a blessing to hear young men want to do the will of God, especially the young men. And you know, I was talking to someone the other day. Some gentlemen came and they began to ask me some questions. And I met them in the store, and they knew me, and they said, hey, it's a blessing to see you. So they began to inquire. And so if the Holy Spirit brought back to me, said, when the women were at the tomb, Jesus told them to go back and tell the men.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So they need to know. And when I hear young men on fire for God and just wanting to do something to build the kingdom, it is truly, truly a blessing. Now they're getting in their rightful place. Amen? They're getting in their rightful place. So we just got to pray for them. We just got to keep them in prayer. And it's such a blessing to hear that young man speak. It's a blessing.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. You know, one
amen.
Thing I say, when Dr. Valerie says, she said, tonight, she's the Holy Ghost is going to take, the Holy Ghost is on fire. It's coming in. And tonight, we've been on, amen. He spoke tonight. You back in charge, Dr. Valerie. You back in charge. I'm bowing down. I'm bowing down. I'm moving down. You got it, Dr.
Well, is the young man still on the line?
Brother Ryan.
Yeah, I'm on the call. Hello.
You
I believe
in the anointing that God has placed upon men. And I too am just
so happy that you're on the line and you said what you said, and God has even increased the fire and desire in your heart to reach these young people. And I know it's time for us to close, but I wanted to ask you if you would close us out in prayer and pray for this generation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And again, I'm grateful to be on the call, and I'm grateful God has spoken to my heart tonight about the youth, and it really has reignited a fire in me to, man, I got work to do for the master. And I hear it loud and clearly, and I got the message tonight. And again, I'm grateful for the women of God that spoke. I'm thankful for the man of God, Pastor Hunter, for the call being set up. And I just thank all the women of God and men of God who are on the call who are doing God's work. I'm going to go ahead and close this out now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you, just asking for forgiveness of our sins, maybe word, thought, or deed, Father. Father, we just pray this in Jesus' name, that you will continue to encourage every one of us who are on the call, Father God, who are on your battlefield, who are fighting a good fight and doing the works that you've called us to do, the predestinated works, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would give us the strategies, the visions, the creative ideas to begin to pull in the youth, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Father, also for the resources that are necessary to do the work that's necessary to do it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I also pray, Father, that the people that are assigned to help in the work, Father God, that have a willing mind, willing workers, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you would send them in too, Father, in order that we can do what you're calling us to do in this hour, God. I thank you for the word tonight. I thank you for the message tonight. It's received. I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And Father, I want to lastly pray for the lost, this lost generation, Father, because I almost wanted to cry on this call. And right up by Shatarabaka, Redebeketerebeshe, I almost wanted to cry on tonight's call, Father, because it's touching my heart. If it touched your heart, it ought to touch my heart too as a servant. Redebeketerebeshe. So we just pray right now for this generation that is lost, Father God. We just pray that they would, hey, leave Facebook and come to your book, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God. God, I just pray that you would begin to touch the minds of the youth, begin to pour out your spirit upon their flesh, God, in the name of Jesus, that they would have visions of you. They would dream of you. They would begin to think of you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I pray, Father, that you would just give us the boldness to speak. Even when we go into the grocery store, just to say, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. Or, hey, we go to KFC, get some chicken. Hey, you know, God loves you. Just to open our mouth to say something to someone, Father, it may change their life forever. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus Christ's most holy and excellent name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Shalom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to thank each one of you guys for tuning in. It was such a blessing to have you here with us. Amen. Amen. Until we